General Meetings, Wheaton, August 1974, Children's Meeting, Ron Reeves.
Verse number 7. In fact, we'll sing the first verse of several songs, but the first one will be number 7.
God loved the world of sinners, lost and true, and by the fall, salvation full as high as past beyond, there's reach above. Oh, what love, what wondrous love, a love of God is. It brought my Savior from above to die from Calvary.
How about the first verse of the next one, which is number 8?
Shall we gather at his coming when the dead in Christ arise? Shall we hear the Savior's summons to us home beyond the skies?
Going to sing a little while today. There are several reasons for that. One reason is that I like to sing with anybody who else likes to sing. Another reason is that it's awful hard to get your breakfast over with and into Sunday school on time when there's such a big crowd. So we'll sing just a little while the folks are coming in. I'm so glad that we didn't have to make our beds this morning. That's one of the things that are fun about coming to the conference, that we were able to go to breakfast and come back to our room and brush our teeth and so on, and we didn't have to make our beds. Isn't that great? You like that too, don't you? Well, let's sing then the first verse of number 14.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace's heart? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, are your garments spotless, sparkling white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Number 16, the first verse.
Whosoever heareth shall shout the sound, send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. Send the proclamation over
number 24, just the first verse.
We know there's a bright and a glorious hope away in the heavens high, where all the redeemed shall with Jesus dwell. That will you'll be there and high. Will you be there and high? Will you be there and high? Where all the redeemed shall with Jesus dwell.
Life at best is very brief. Now let's sing number 29, first stanza only.
A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. The master answered in virtue and saying, she loves me born again. She
what can wash
away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No number 39. What a friend we have.
Number 40. I knew we'd get there sooner or later, and we finally got there. Number 40, the first stanza.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Let the
67.
When he cometh, when he cometh, so they come his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown. Little children, who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine in his beauty, bright gems for his crown.
Okay. Please just put your hymn sheets under your chair on the floor. They keep the floor so clean here that it won't do the hymn sheets one bit of harm. So just put them on the floor. Now, it's easy for me to remember what we're going to consider this morning because all of the things that we're going to talk about start with H. In fact, we're going to talk about four H's. And the first one was a hamburger joint. And the second thing we want to talk about is we want to talk about Hezekiah. The third thing we want to talk about is a hungry apostle. And the fourth thing that we want to talk about this morning, and we're going to have to get right along if we get it all done in about 20 minutes. The fourth thing is a house that got saved. A house that got saved. Well, let's pray first and then we'll talk about these things. Our Father, how you feel about it, but in our family, we oftentimes go to a hamburger joint.
One second. I want to make sure they hear you.
Well, I tried to get along without this, but couldn't. Now we'll start over. A hamburger joint is very important in my life and is very important in the life of my family. So we were coming to Wheaton, and we had to get up pretty early because it was quite a ways. In fact, we got up a little after 5 o'clock. And we were on the highway about 6 and didn't have much breakfast and had a banana or an apple and some grapes and stuff like that. But that really never would take the place of a hamburger. You know that. Never would. So eventually we found our way to a hamburger joint not far from the conference here. And we enjoyed what we got. In fact, it's very interesting to me that with some of us, even if we go to a real high-class restaurant to have a real nice meal, you'll always find somebody passing over the menu where it says sirloin steak, T-bone, fried chicken, fried shrimp, lobster, and that kind of thing. And they say, well, you know, I would just, Dad, I just want a hamburger, French fries, and a malt. I've often seen that happen and enjoyed it very much. Well, finally, we got to this hamburger joint because we were all hungry. And we enjoyed what they had, hamburgers, French fries, and they didn't call them malts there, they called them shakes. Well, I was enjoying my chocolate shake. I always get chocolate because that's what I like the best. And even if I get strawberry or vanilla or wild cherry or something else, I always am disappointed because it doesn't taste like chocolate. And I always wished after I got halfway through it that I'd ordered chocolate. So generally I prevent that problem from happening by ordering chocolate in the first place. So this I did yesterday, got chocolate. Delicious. And just enjoying it. In fact, it got down to the bottom of the cup too fast. Then my son had ordered a vanilla, but he was through about two-thirds of the way down. He says, "Dad, would you finish this up?" I said, "Of course." So I finished up his vanilla. And we were using a very interesting vessel to enjoy that shake. And I was sitting there in this hamburger joint looking at this vessel, this apparatus that somebody had made for that purpose. This is just a little straw, plastic straw. Nothing particularly complicated about it. It's open at both ends. That means that what goes in at the top comes out at the bottom, or vice versa, which is makes a good vessel. In fact, I've often thought a servant of the Lord ought to be like that. He ought to be so clean that if God gives him something, goes right out to the others and blesses them, because that's what he wants. Well, I was looking at this straw, and I thought, what a wonderful thing that is. It's a vessel that carries the blessing to me. And it's quite unusual, isn't it? A straw. Everybody's seen one, and there's really nothing too complicated about it. But it brought the blessing to me. First a chocolate shake, and then the remainder of the vanilla shake. And I just even used the same straw. My boy just handed it to me. "Here, Dad, finish it up." And I just said, "Well, fine." And I just used the straw that he was using, and didn't make any problem. But I brought that with me because it's an interesting vessel that conveyed something good to me, brought something good to me. Now, the things that we're going to talk about today will bring before us interesting vessels that have brought good things to us. And so the next thing we want to talk about is Hezekiah, and we'll have to turn to our Bibles for that. It's 2 Kings, chapter 20 and verse 20, where we have a most interesting thing said about Hezekiah. It's not hard to find because it's 2 Kings and it's chapter 20 and it's verse 20. And the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and all his might, if we were to turn to the book of Chronicles, we would find it says, "and his goodness," as though God said he did a good thing there. It says here, but in our verse it says, "and his might." And now notice what Hezekiah did. Very interesting thing. He made a pool and a conduit. He made a conduit, and you know, that's what I was thinking about this morning, was that conduit. He made a conduit and brought water into the city. Well, that was a good thing he did, wasn't it? This good king, Hezekiah, first made a pool, and if we would read other parts of the Word of God, we would find out it was called an upper pool. It was higher than the rest of the place. He made an upper pool. And then he made a conduit. Well, in other words, a pipe or a big straw. He made this big pipe to bring water into the city. And wasn't that a good thing to do? To bring water into the city so people could drink the water and they could wash their clothes and wash their hands and face and do all the other things that are necessary with water. And God records in another part of his precious word that Hezekiah did a real good thing when he made that conduit to bring water into the city. I was reading a little paper that came to my house this last week about a town that was dependent upon a big pool of water for their drinking water. That was a reservoir. But the water dried up, and they didn't know why. They couldn't figure out what had happened. There was no more water coming out of the pipe. And so they began to look around, and you know what they found? They found somebody put a plug in the mouth of the pipe so that they could not get any water. And I felt so bad about that, to think that somebody would be so... what is a good word now to say? Dumb? And so inconsiderate? That they would put a plug in the pipe? And you know, I thought this, I thought, oh, I sure wouldn't want to put any plugs in the pipe that would bring water to God's people. And I hope there's no daddy in this room today, or mama, that's putting a plug in the pipe so that the water of the precious Word of God can't get to their children. Wouldn't want to do that, would we? Put a plug so the water couldn't get down to them. Well, they found out that this person had put a plug in there, and they took the plug out, and the water came again. And I was glad. But how good a thing Hezekiah did when he made a conduit to bring the water into the city. Wonderful. Now, let's talk about a hungry disciple, or hungry apostle. And for that, we'll have to go to the book of Acts, chapter 10, where we find a real interesting story about one of God's servants who got hungry. And let's not forget that even God's servants get hungry. God reminds us of that. We should consider it. But in this case, something real interesting happened when his servant got hungry. It's Acts chapter 10 and verse 9. And drew nigh into the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now, he didn't get on the roof. I used to think that he went out and sat on the roof, because I thought maybe that house was like my house, but no. He just went up in the top of the house there, where there was a little railing around the top of the house, and it was cool. And he could just sit there on the roof and enjoy the cool and quiet of the day. And so that's what Peter did when he went up on the housetop. And he went up there to pray about the sixth hour. And it says he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened. You know, wonderful things happen when heaven gets opened. Wonderful things happen. And it's the most interesting study for us if we just find out what happens in the Word of God when heaven is open. Well, when heaven was open this time, it says a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice unto him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord. I've often thought about what Peter said. He told the Lord, No. And I've often thought of what a wonderful boss, what a wonderful master Peter had that would let him get by with saying no. Some of us have had bosses, you know, that if we dare say no to them, they'd fire us right away. But oh, what a wonderful boss the Lord Jesus is. He so knows the servant so well that he would even let one of his servants get by with saying no. Well, Peter had something to learn. Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, this is another interesting vessel. God uses interesting vessels. And in this case, he used a sheet. You can just imagine what that looked like, a big sheet with the corners tied up and all kinds of animals in there. Never was a vessel like that I ever heard of. But God oftentimes uses different kinds of vessels to teach his people and teach those that need his instruction, teach them valuable lessons. So he sent this interesting vessel to teach Peter that he should give the gospel to those who were not of the nation of Israel. God used that interesting vessel. Now we want to talk about a house that got saved. So please turn over to the 11th chapter of Acts. This is a little bit more about Peter, but here's a house that got saved. And God used an interesting vessel, too, to bring that blessing to this house. Acts chapter 10 and verse 14. Notice what it says. Well, we better read 13 so we know who it's talking about. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words. Words. Notice that. Words. Whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. So, here is a house that's going to get saved. And do you know how it's going to get saved? Do you know how the blessing's going to get to that house? Through a vessel by the name of Peter. Yes. God was going to send the water of his precious word through a very interesting and unusual vessel called Peter. And he was going to just convey to that house the water of God's precious word. And it says about Peter, who shall tell thee words, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Did you ever see a house that got saved? Did you ever see a house that got saved? How can a house be saved? You know, that's quite an interesting question, isn't it? How does a house get saved? Well, you know, the Word of God is talking here not about the boards and the nails and the stones and the roof and the doors and the window, but he's talking about those in the house. That's what he's talking about. It's about those in the house. And when those in the house get saved, then the Word of God says that house is saved. And God used Peter, his servant, to bring that water of his word. Now notice it says his word. That was the only thing that was brought to that house in order to save that house. There wasn't anything else. Just the word. And Peter gave the word of God. And that man Cornelius and his whole house was saved. Now, why do I talk about these things? I'll tell you. I am talking this morning with many in this room who live in houses who have Christian parents. Is your daddy a Christian? Is your daddy saved? Is he? If somebody would tell you, is your daddy saved? Write down yes or no. What would you write down? And if they say, is your mama saved? Write down yes or no. What would you write down if somebody said, is your mama saved? What would you write down? I'd write down yes. Would you? But now the point is this. How about the rest of the people in that house? If mama's saved, and if daddy's saved, how about the rest of the people in that house? Is everybody in your house saved? How about your brother? Is your brother saved? How about your sister? Is your sister saved? Are you saved?
Oh, it's a wonderful thing when the whole house gets saved. And they get saved when they hear the Word of God and believe it and accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior by the Word. And so Peter was a vessel that brought the Word of God to the house of Cornelius. And now we're going to read in chapter 10 just what he said. And it resulted in that house being saved. Oh, how wonderful when a house gets saved. And it's interesting, the vessel that God uses to save a whole house. Now, verse chapter 10 and verse 34. We're going to read the word that Peter brought to that house. Now, let's never forget that Peter carried the word to the house. And it was by means of that word that that house was saved. Nothing else. Verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word, see what it says? Does your Bible say that? Does your Bible say the word? That's what my Bible says. It says the word. Yes, that's what God uses to save a house, the word. The word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. Oh, I missed a verse. Verse 36. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. Now notice what's inside that bracket. You know, a bracket is kind of like a little fence that protects what's inside. And God wants us to know what it says. It says, He is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. Oh, I'm so glad that the day came in my life when I acknowledged Jesus as Lord of all. And that wonderful verse God gave me to bring me peace in my heart. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, I belong to a house that got saved. My dad, my mom, my brother, my sister, and me. We all got saved. How? How do you think we all got saved in that house? Because we accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. That's the only way we were saved. We got saved that way, by the Word of God. Well, notice what it says. He is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and beginning from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, which they slew and hanged on a tree. Notice what verse 40 says. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Whether you believe it or not, God raised him from the dead. And the Lord Jesus is living this morning at God's right hand. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Tell me now, who is it who has their sins forgiven? It's the one that believes on the Lord Jesus and nobody else. Nobody else. And the only way to have your sins forgiven is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll know the wonderful fact that it says in the Bible, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's the believers that know that verse and love it. Well, Peter was an interesting vessel that brought the word to that house, and that house was saved. Is your house saved? I couldn't say your house is saved if there's one left in it that's not saved. Is there a girl in this room this morning that has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior? Do you know that your house is not saved until you are? Did you know that? Is there a boy here who has never accepted the Lord Jesus as his Savior? Do you know that your house is not saved until you are? Oh, it's the desire of my heart that you'll accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior during this conference. And we were talking about some interesting vessels. First, we talked about that straw that we got at the hamburger joint. Then we talked about Hezekiah that made a conduit to bring water to the people. Then we talked about God letting down a sheet tied at the four corners to teach his servant a lesson. And then we read about a servant by the name of Peter who carried water of God's precious word that a house might get saved. Now, I don't really know what kind of a vessel God is going to make use of to bring the water to each one in this room. He may use different kinds of vessels, but oh, it's the longing of my heart that during this Wheaton conference, God would use his servants and vessels to carry the water of his precious word down into your heart, that every house represented in this room will be saved forever and ever. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for thy precious word. And some of us are here this morning because of the power of that precious word that has brought salvation to us individually and to our houses.